Hello and welcome to And All Shall Be Well. I'm your host, Megan Rohr. And today we have a very special conversation with Rabbi Angel, who is a teacher and a faith leader and someone who has really dedicated their life to pondering, to supporting young adults, and to being someone who is helping to make justice happen in the world. In our conversations, we'll talk about everything from the classes that they're teaching to ways that you yourself could get involved and participate if you are interested. This is not just a conversation where you get to know Rabbi Angel a little bit better, but it's also an invitation to be a part of a community if you are interested. So take a listen.
Hi, I'm Camille Shira Engel. I pronounce it Engel and Angel. Originally, it was on Gelchik, which means little angel. So I grew up with my father pronouncing our last name Engel. So he would have a sense of integrity with being a man of reason. And then later, my mother claimed the pronunciation Angel, which is how it's spelled. And yeah, so I go by both. And I have the distinct honor of serving as the rabbi in residence at the University of San Francisco, where I teach in the Jewish studies, the SWIG program in Jewish studies and social justice, and serve in the university ministry. So that's my vocation as of now. And I'm happy to talk more about some of the courses that I teach and how I've come to know you. But I'm delighted to be a guest today.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. I'm wondering if there are any other intersections or parts of your identity that you'd like to let people know about kind of before we dive into talking.
Before, in addition to like how to pronounce my last name?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, sure. I'm Jewish. I'm the second generation in my family to be raised with the ideas of reform, liberal, progressive Judaism. My dad was actually the eighth generation in his family to be a rabbi. So I feel like this is like the family business, only I'm the first woman in the family to be a rabbi, and I'm a lesbian and queer identified. I'm expressing my gender these days and leaning into using pronouns she and they, which is really interesting for me. And my heart is heavy with the current state of Israel and the war in Gaza and the suffering of so many peoples. It's hard to be Jewish these days and feel all that we're feeling. And I'm really healed in a way by being on a college campus or being in a classroom where I feel like things are moving, and being in a place where transformation is possible. That gives me a lot of hope. So I'm the intersection of being a student and a teacher feels really significant to me as part of who I am. And I think I covered my main identities here. Oh, I'm definitely into being a woman, and I'm a parent. I have an amazing 21-year-old and a beautiful pair of dogs and a partner too. And I'm married.
I like that. There's a beautiful way of of sort of the unfolding of all of the joys and loves that you have in your life. And I know you to be a very compassionate, very giving, very mentoring kind of focused person, particularly with students. Will you talk a little bit about what you teach and maybe for those who don't know what the kind of school that you're at, if you could describe its background just a little bit too?
Sure. Yeah. It's really interesting for me to say that I trained and mostly my whole life worked and taught Jews, but in the last 5 years, my work has been at the University of San Francisco, which is Catholic, Jesuit. And while most of my students in my classrooms are seeking and trying to figure out what spirituality means for them as young adults, very few of them come with a clear commitment to their religious traditions from their families of origin. And so I teach a class called Queering Religion, and I teach this class is a core, fulfills a core requirement in theology and religious studies. And I bring students, a dozen experts in the field of religion, whether it's as practitioners of spiritual leaders, educators, poets, authors, people who are influencing faith traditions and communities, some of whom are Jewish, but including you, who come into the classroom and teach students about how we're making our religious traditions transform into what they were originally hoped to become, like inclusive in a way that maybe we're here to help them become. And I could say that in a more articulate way, but it's the work of queering religion. And for me, I feel like Judaism is largely responsible, as are the other Abrahamic faith traditions and their teachers, for perpetrating religious-based hatred against queer folk. And so as a religious person, I feel called to interrupt that and to repair that and hopefully to help people of all ages reclaim and reconstruct or connect with for the first time, maybe, spiritual traditions and practices, rituals that can be lifelines of meaning and wellness, sources of connection. And so that's my Queering Religion class. And I teach that. I have one of the requirements of that class is that they all have to go to a religious place that I deem as queering religion. So they have like a list of 7 places that they can go to experience that, including where you serve at Glide Memorial Congregation Shaar Zahav, where I was rabbi for 15 years. They are on this religious site visit and they write up their experience of being in a place like most of them have never encountered such a warm, authentic welcome. And My second course, can I pivot to that?
Well, before you switch to your second course, will you let people know? I know that sometimes you have just the classes that students can go to, but you also have like talks and lectures that the general public can go to too. Do you want to share a little bit about that in case some Bay Area folk would like to attend?
Yeah, I would love to say a word about that. I'd like to shine a light on two programs. One is our three-part series actually on anti-Semitism. Tomorrow night, it's free to the community. It's in person. It's on campus. We're hosting James Carroll, and the talk is about anti-Semitism in the Catholic Church. And then there's something March 26th on anti-Semitism and white supremacy with Professor Eric Ward. And then in April, we have anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. These are all in the evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on campus, mostly for students, but the whole community is welcome. And then my pride and joy, this year is the third annual Al Baum Memorial Lecture honoring a Jewish LGBTQ social justice activist. And this year we're bringing Mike Shriver, who's been a force of nature in leading the way towards advocacy and research advances and the work of memorializing those who've died from AIDS over the decades. And so anyway, Mike Shriver is going to be our speaker, and everyone's welcome to that. And they'll be live streamed, so wherever people are at, they can join.
That's really wonderful. You guys do rituals sometimes too, right? You do Passovers and Seders and...
We do. We have this year our anti-racist social justice Passover Seder that's going to be co-led with Dr. Reverend Rone Sims Wingate and soon-to-be Rabbi Chel Mandel and one of our graduate students, Alex Cambra, and 150 student voices. So it's very open again to the community and for free. It's 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, April 25th. And all of these events, you're welcome to be in touch with me and I'll get you registered. And the main thing I want to say is you don't have to be Jewish. I'm Jewish, but people of all faith backgrounds and none come and are, I think, edified by the nourishment that we're bringing.
Thank you for sharing that, because I know there's a lot of people who like kind of tuning into stuff and would be really happy to kind of have a space where they can kind of check into community, even if they're not a student. So yeah, tell us about your other class.
So my other class is called Honoring Our LGBTQIA+ Jewish Elders. And it's a community engaged learning course where undergraduates are grouped in small groups of three with a queer elder who has in their life over the decades made great contributions towards our having better queer lives. And the students meet over 12 weeks interviewing the elder. And then they create a legacy video of about 10 minutes that we're collecting and will be exhibiting. And Each semester I get more of these stories, and my circle of elders is expanding, and it's just a really beautiful intergenerational conversation during especially the years of the pandemic, to have a queer person. Often my students in this class, I would say like half of them are themselves LGBTQ identified, and all of them are wanting to be more literate allies to the community, whether they're queer or not. To have an elder who's not related to become like an adopted grandparent or aunt and uncle or godparent of some sort has been just a really beautiful, generative relationship to help witness and to help cultivate. So that's my other class. And finally, this last fall taught for the first time a third class on how do we call it? Beyond binaries, gender, justice, and the future of Jewish traditions. And I co-taught this class with Professor Joy Layden, and it's for graduate, it's postgraduate. So it's all online and virtual. And if you're looking for an interesting, here again, I'm telling you it's in the fall next year. We already know the dates. You could be in touch. I could study with you.
Yeah, that would be really fun. And Joy has some really great writings out there too, if people just want to Google some really interesting readings, right?
She's my teacher, and her writing is an experience like none other in learning about gender for me. She has a book coming out in the summer called Out of Nature, and we're going to do a book launch in September for that book. I'll tell you about it because...
Yeah, I want to help because she's one of the folk that writes some really wonderful stuff that definitely needs to be out there in the world. Is there a way that people can connect with some of those queer elder stories? You mentioned that you've been kind of saving them and archiving them.
Coming this June, the stories will be part of Mapping Jewish SF. MappingJewishSF.com is a digital museum that people all over the world can visit. There's two great exhibits up there right now, one on Karaite Jews and one on the Jews of the House of Love and Prayer, both really fascinating exhibits. And in June, coming in June, will be Jewish queer elders in the Bay Area, and that's where you'll be able to see and get to know some of Rabbi Angel's circle of elders.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
You're so great.
Well, I'm excited. You know me. I love storytelling and listening and all of that stuff. So the more that's out there, the better. And I particularly love oral histories that are intergenerationally done. And I think people just tell the more fun, interesting stories when they're showing off to young people sometimes that they're not related to and they get in trouble for talking to, right?
It's so true. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, with all those intersections that you carry, and having been someone who has done a lot of reaching out, particularly to younger folk, there's a lot of heavy stuff that people are carrying right now. And in order to do that work on a regular basis, you've got to sort of have some routines to take care of yourself. Are there some of the things that you do to try to stay upright in this world that you seek out for your own wellness during these times?
It will begin while still horizontal. So I think when I wake up, I have a practice that part of my waking up before my feet touch the floor, I'm engaged in some kind of gratitude of recognizing that I have a body, that I'm have a mind, and the two of them are waking up together. And that's pretty cool. Nothing to take for granted. And so that sort of begins my day before I pick up a phone or pet the dog. I just sort of try to take a moment of honoring that reunification of mind and body and the awareness. And I do pretty quickly then launch into, in terms of my day, taking care of an other. Like I've mentioned I have dogs, and they're insistent on waiting for me to get up. But then once I'm up, they're insistent, and their needs like come before mine. So whatever the weather, I have this like opportunity right at the beginning of the day to be outside and observe the dawn of the day. I really try to notice the changing from the dawn and in twilight. I think those are really tender, telling times to take an account. So that's part of my practice, is to try to slow down in the bookends of the day, or the productivity in a way of the day, and pay attention there. I love poetry, reading and writing poetry. And so part of my prayer practice, I would say, is like having some kind of encounter with meaningful texts. Could be texts taken from any place, eclectic sources that expand what might be considered sacred texts. But for me, just the act of learning something in the morning, starting the day, like that stimulation is like coffee. I think it's like caffeine. I also like to have coffee, and I have a coffee practice ritual, but I try to have my coffee after I've studied something and learn something. Those are some of my wellness practices just for getting going. I try to do those daily.
You were telling me something a little bit earlier about the title of the podcast is "And All Shall Be Well," a phrase from Julianne of Norwich, right? Mm-hmm. You were telling me about that being particularly Christian sentiment, and maybe not as in the center of sort of Jewish ideas. Would you be willing to share that with folk?
Sure. I mean, also, I'm playfully and humorously, and which is definitely a Jewish practice of wellness, is to find the humor in things. And so, as I've been thinking about being on this "And All Shall Be Well" conversation, I've been thinking like how to translate that phrase into Jewish. Like, what is the Jewish expression of like, it's not "Ken yehi ratzon," may it be so. It's "may we're hopeful," which hope is definitely a Jewish resource and value. And I think about singing like the prayer known as the Elenu. It's upon us to repair the world. But it's all shall be well feels like a prediction more so than an aspiration. And it doesn't feel like, at times it doesn't, it's like there's a kind of element of an exercise of a muscle of hopefulness that really goes against the grain of our experience, which is, this is the longest period in history where we haven't been like, displaced as Jews. So our natural like reflex is to be like, all shall be well until it's not again, you know, like, and I think the war has been a huge like wake up call to those of us who might have hoped that that the state of Israel would be the answer to being displaced every turn in history, but it's not that. Oops, I took us there.
It's all right. I mean, what I think Julianne of Norwich was trying to do is like muster into being something that didn't exist, sort of like push God into a corner. So like, it reminds me a little bit of like, there's this part of the story of Jesus's birth where Mary quotes Ezekiel basically and kind of says, you know, sort of in this like, well, I'm growing your baby, here's what I want kind of statement from, and it's sort of like, I want you to be the one who has a covenant of peace with us. I want you to be the one who protects the sheep, and I want you to bring justice. And so I like to think of the end all should be well as being like a summoning of what we're calling for in the world. And in sort of a like, let's make this happen kind of way. And it's not quite tikkun olam. It's more like a calling on the sacred to like do their part as well. If you get to hold the divine into account, I don't know.
Wow. Well, I mean, I like, That reminds me of Abraham, you know, trying to manipulate God down to protect the innocent in the story Sodom and Gomorrah. But and God certainly in our Hebrew texts likes to be challenged and, you know, admires that in the disciples. Yeah. Well, it's good that it's a complementarity then between us, because I definitely would like to call forth the higher realms to support us in our efforts.
Yeah, I think it's part of why I especially thought of you as someone who could come and sort of speak for this podcast, is thinking of you as someone who is rugged enough to like demand justice in the midst of difficult times when demanding justice is enough to get you in trouble, but also being someone who is flexible and listening enough to try to figure out new and creative ways to have ritual happen when the world's not quite ready for the justice that is needed.
Mm.
So know that I appreciate you in this world, and having you exist makes me feel a little like it's a little easier to bring forth justice because there's more folk trying to stir it up.
Well, I've certainly, that's a shared experience that we have of each other, because I've learned so much from listening and learning with you, and my students, you know, they, most of them, I don't think have ever met someone who identifies as with your identities, who's in a position of authority in the context of a religious community or religious communities. My students have never met anyone like you. They've never met anyone like me. And those encounters, they are become the high points of their college education. Their minds expanded that that activism can look like this in the context of something they would have preferred to just throw away and walk away from because they've always thought it was an institution of harm.
Thank you for listening. I am so glad that you did, and I do not take it for granted that you made it all the way to the end of this podcast. I have to say a big thank you to Rabbi Angel for our conversation and for all of the ways that they have been up to doing justicey things in this world. I really do appreciate all the time that I get to be in the same space with them. They always inspire me to keep going on my own personal faith journey and to learn more about what they are up to. Thank you also to everyone who has been supporting this work by liking and subscribing and all the things that you do in order to make sure that you know when the next podcast is coming out, or to help others ensure that they get to see conversations like these. And thank you especially for those who have been chipping in on Patreon to help make sure conversations like these can happen in the future. If you are wondering if you have to be perfect, if you have to be good, or if there is some list that you must do in order to be considered beloved, know that you just are. This diverse and beautiful world is big enough for you, and I hope you will live your full fabulous. I will see you again next time. Take care, everybody.